Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So, if we're there on my computer, it's fine. It doesn't have to be Pastor Alex. I'll just preach out of there. Amen. Is it there? Oh, yeah. But this says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Well, that might be prophetic. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Because I am about to prophesy, but that's in chapter 1. So, okay, I will do both this and that. But listen, it's great to be with you all. Are you all still saved in the United States of America? I believe you are. And, you know, a lot of people are far too focused on the media. You know, thank God for the media, and I'm sure there might be. I used to be a journalist. I'm not against the media. I just don't watch too much of it. Because quite frankly, I find it very opinionated. And opinionated expressions, to me, from a prophetic perspective, causes a lot of conflict, and there's no real conviction in it. In other words, not too many people are prepared to die for an opinion, but a lot are prepared to die for a conviction. Amen? And so, you know, I don't have an opinion about the resurrection factor. I don't have an opinion about the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't have an opinion about the reality of war in the spirit. I don't have opinions. I have conviction that comes from truth, which produces a freedom and is more than willing to set me on a course of liberty. Amen. So the reason why this message popped up in my spirit is because if you just give me a little bit more sound, I'll prophesy. And I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says, bring me a minstrel that I may prophesy. Amen. Elisha said, bring me a minstrel that I may prophesy. Malachi, of course, would prophesy to exuberant, noisy, joyful music. Amen. And so how many of you have not been to any of our meetings before? Just raise your hand. Okay. All right. We'll get into it. Just if I get too excited, it is Sunday morning, so you should survive it. But tonight we'll open up the taps. You're welcome. Yeah. Amen. Just keep on giving me that sound. That's beautiful. Thank you. You guys can give me a bit of a sound too. Music is sound. God does nothing supernatural without a sound. If you study the Bible, before the power of the Holy Spirit felt, there was a sound. The Bible says that the sound went into the earth and their words to the ends of the world. When King Saul was to be changed into another man and to become king and to get a new heart, they were both musicians, minstrels, and prophets prophesying. And in that spiritual atmosphere, great supernatural change came. Amen. So it is, the Spirit of the Lord says, that yes, even in this nation, the United States of America, multitudes in the valley of decision, but multitudes in the valley of decision shall remain there no more, says the Lord. For in this hour I shall begin to raise up Moseses, I shall begin to raise up Joshuas, I shall begin to raise up Calebs, I shall begin to raise up those who have a different spirit, says the Lord. For in this hour there are leaders that I'm clothing right now. Yes, I am clothing them with the right garments for the right time, for the right reason, in the right season. And so it is that many that have found themselves in the valley of the shadow of death, and many who have found themselves in the valley of decision, many of them shall begin to come out. They shall begin to come out of the valley. And there is no obstacle that is too great for me, says the Lord. And therefore there shall be no obstacle too great for them. For I shall take them through, and I shall destroy the enemy, because the gates of hell shall be shut, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God in this nation, the United States of America. For as it is, I see the clouds that are gathering once again over this land, and once again I shall pour out my spirit. Yes, even in the state of Florida, I shall begin to pour out my spiritual rain, says the Lord. Therefore I say unto you in this hour, prepare yourselves, gird your loins, gird yourselves, for the season of the fight is coming to an end, and a new season has begun, and that season shall be the violence of peace. Yes, the violence of peace, for I shall shortly crush Satan underneath your feet by the power of my peace, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give Jesus praise, please. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the testo koso zakatabam. Embredeste kerebe iondrono. Ambranaste kesu zakatabam bredeste. O torobonamena manekerebe iambranaste kerebe. Embredesto koso zakatapa kembredeste kerebe. Yondro nosto conto su sacete pembredem, yambradaste kerebe. And the Spirit of the Lord says, I shall clothe many in this hour with the full armor of God. I shall cause many to arise as mighty warriors in this day. And I shall equip their hands for war, says the Lord. Yes, for my war shall be preceded by the power, and I say again, the violence of my peace, which has the divine ability to crush Satan underneath your feet, says the Lord. And so it is that I shall cause in this hour a mighty army to arise in the nations. Yes, and in the nation of America, for even now, as this word is being decreed and declared, the heavens are going open, and my angels are ascending and descending, says the Lord. For even now I am presenting before the Father. Yes, I am. Every need, every desire, every prayer, every cry of this hour. And so it is that I shall respond and reciprocate in this hour, says the Lord. And surely I shall grant you the desires of your heart in this day. And see, I shall erect, yes, I shall, even a monument in this city for years to come. They shall say, this is the place where the angels did walk. This is the place where the demonic forces were afraid to walk. This is the place where the banner of victory was erected, and for all to see around the land, they would declare and decree, victory, 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 victory has been given unto them, says the Lord, in this place today. Somebody get excited and give Jesus praise. Oh, terebene mani ebradeste kerebe. E terebene mani ebranasto kododo. Embradeste kerebe, yambradaste kerebe. Yotororosto korebe, yambranaste kekoshaza. Ye kerebesto korebe, yambranasto korebo. Yambranaste kerebe. Ye terebene mani 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 kerebe. Suzakata pabrada. For even now, says the Lord, the holy angels, yes, the holy angels are surrounding this place. Yes, they are even in your midst in this place, says the Lord, in this hour, because surely I have given them charge over you. Surely I have given them charge over you. And according to Psalm 103, verse number 20, they shall give heed to my voice, and they shall do my words, says the Lord, and they shall arise, and the battle is the Lord's. Yes, the battle is mine. In this hour I shall send my force forces to go out before you, because I am erecting the banner of victory in this place, says the Lord. I am giving you the victory, says the Lord. This place shall be known as a place of victory, for I shall give you one victory, yes, another victory, and then another victory, and that place shall stand, says the Lord. And surely they shall come to and fro across the land and say, how is it possible? How did this happen? Why did this happen? And you shall give the glory to me, says the Lord, and you shall lift up your hands and you shall praise me, and you shall give me the glory, for I am in your midst this day, says the captain of the hosts of the army. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I surely shall prepare a table in the wilderness, says the Lord. And I shall silence the enemy. I shall silence him, says God. And he shall observe as together we shall dine, and together we shall sup, and together we shall have intimacy, and together we shall speak. For I shall not speak of intimate things with him. I shall only speak a word, a command that shall bring destruction like the lightnings of heaven, that shall cast him down. And I give unto you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you, says the Lord, because you are mine and I am yours, and I have brought you to this place for victory, says the Lord. Victory is your banner. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, somebody needs to get a little more excited than that. Thank you. You may be seated. God's response is always a measured response. I'll say that again, particularly in the prophetic. God's response is always a measured response. It is in accordance with your measure. With the measure you use, it shall be measured back unto you. Amen. In the prophetic, interaction is always encouraged, because oftentimes the prophetic will do that which you are not accustomed to, and it will seem very strange and foreign. For example, when the prophet Elisha, on his deathbed, by which he would die of such said sickness, the king was present, and the king was calling him my father because of their relationship. And on his bed, the prophet Elisha said, take your arrow. He took an arrow. He said, shoot it out the window, which is a declaration of war, something that he could relate to, something that he was accustomed to, something that was not foreign to him. And he shot that arrow out the window. But then the prophet told him to do something that he was not familiar with, that was seemingly unusual, a little bit strange, possibly even somewhat undignified. And he prophesies to the king, and he says, you're going to take that arrow, and you're going to strike with that arrow, and you're going to have the victory over your enemies. But then the prophet took the arrow and was very lacklustrous, very half-hearted, very kind of passionless, because he didn't quite get it. And he struck with the arrow and stopped. And the prophet rebuked him. And God changed his mind. See, God changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But our behavior can most certainly change God's mind. Throughout Scripture, you see it. Or maybe let me just give you one or two for those of you who think I've gone mad. It's okay, I think I've gone mad sometimes too. But Hezekiah, how many of you remember King Hezekiah? He was a great prophet in that day, Isaiah, one of the major prophets. I don't know about you, but when a prophet like Isaiah comes to town, the whole city knows he's coming. There's a herald that goes before him to announce the prophet's on his way. Prophet Isaiah gets there, walks through the courtyard, stands by the king's bed, heralds all around, scribes present. He prophesies to the king. He says, "This sickness you've got is unto death. There's no cure for it, and you will die in 3 days. Get your house in order." Now, I don't know about you, but when a prophet like Isaiah prophesies, you're dead, you're dead. It's over, right? But Isaiah turned around, and as he was going out the courtyard, he hadn't even made it to the gates of the city yet. He was still in the city. When Hezekiah's behavior, in that he turns his face to the wall, and he screams out to God, and he reminds God of all the good things he's done for him, of all the good things his father's done for him, of all the good things his grandfather's done for him. And before Isaiah even makes it out the courtyard, God changes his mind and says, "Go back and tell King Hezekiah he'll live another 15 years. We would have called Isaiah a false prophet today, but anyway, point is, it will not return unto him void. It shall accomplish that for which he died eventually, of course. Jonah's another classic example. I've taught you out of that the last time I was here. I'm not going to go into it, but Jonah prophesied when he finally got there, dejected, depressed, and suicidal. And he prophesied to the city, Jonah, right? No, Nineveh, excuse me. Jonah prophesied to Nineveh and says, "Yet in 40 days you'll be overthrown. Judgment's finished." You'd think he'd get excited. They were his enemies. They're the enemies of God's people. You'd think he'd want them to die, which he did. So why not prophesy? That's what stopped him from going there. He didn't want to prophesy judgment, because chapter 4 tells you why. He knew that God could possibly be merciful if their behavior changed. And so when Jonah prophesied over Nineveh, the whole city repented and fasted for 3 days, and God relented from the harm. And that's why the prophet was so mad. The prophet was so upset because he knew. Chapter 4 says, "I knew you would do this. I knew if I came here and prophesied judgment and these guys repented, you wouldn't kill them." That's why he didn't want to prophesy. That's why he ran away from the presence of the Lord. I don't know why I was saying all of that. What was I? Yeah. So anyway, whatever happened, something happened. Okay, but so, yeah. So God changed my message quickly. So if you weren't here in the first session, it wasn't a bad little teaching, but we'll get into preaching tonight. Amen. Just kind of laying a foundation. Yes, we were talking about the median opinionated people. You'll never die for an opinion, really. You'll need to be convicted of it. You know, most people die for a conviction. Oh, yes, and the angels came in here. And oh, yes, there's another message tonight. Okay. Sorry, I'm just having a conversation. There's a whole bunch of things that just happened here in the second service. Just a whole bunch of things. You know, the angels are here right now. And I'm not here to worship angels or to even glorify them. It's very interesting when I know or see angels in a meeting, because it has profound revelatory experience, dynamics. Okay, let me calm down a little bit, so let's get into this message. Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to be here. Amen. It's great. Thank you for having me. Thank you to the band. And in the mornings, I try and be as conservative as I possibly can. In the evenings, we open up the taps and we preach. And it does get a little wild. And I do understand some of you will think I'm crazy. That's okay. I don't mind. It's okay. Isaiah the prophet, speaking about a people. These people he's speaking about are a people of the future. He speaks the people who walked in darkness. The Hebrew word for darkness there is Joshek. It talks about a darkness that grips the soul. It's a darkness that blinds one. It's a spiritual darkness that causes one to have no direction, no way to go in life. I was in Chashek once upon a time. It speaks of sadness, of sorrow, I was a vagrant on the streets, a homeless person and a beggar. And I was in much darkness of drugs and darkness of hatred and darkness of sorrow and pain. Chashek. I was in a place called Chashek. Walked in darkness. You know, you can see with the natural eyes, but your spiritual eyes are just in darkness. You just don't know where you're going. You've just got no purpose in life. You're just a very sad, sorrowful excuse, actually, for a human being, because we're not called to be human beings. We're called to be spiritual beings. When you get saved, you don't remain a human being. You move to being a spiritual man or woman. Paul the Apostle talks about three people in the scripture. He talks about the natural man. That's the human being that's unsaved. The carnal man. That's the human being that's saved, but is an unspiritual, very dangerous people. They're going to heaven. But then he says, and the spiritual man. And that's the one we should strive for. I know I fall far short, but I've been there, had my moments, and been out of that and been carnal, but also I prefer to be there. And that's where God is drawing the church. Amen. But once upon a time, all of us here walked in Chashek. We walked in darkness. But he looks into the future. He says, I'll just add this little word, but, because he's looking into the future and he says, these people have seen a great light, not just a little light, a great light. And the light that he's talking about there is the light we call Christ, for he is the light of the world. He is the light that shines in a dark place. He is the light that is brighter than the sun, that the devil come anywhere near you if you listen to the first message and you're full of light. You see, sometimes you feel there's no light anymore. Don't ever let the devil lie to you and tell you the light is gone. It ain't gone. It's there. You just gotta let that light shine. You'll have to get the first session to understand. But we've seen this great light. His name is Jesus Christ. And suddenly things changed. I don't know about you. When I saw that great light, it was more like fire. That word light is a very powerful word. It's like light, like lightning. It shines brighter than the sun. It's like fire. It's like... I'm seeing that presence. I haven't seen it for a while. I'm moving into this place. I find fascinating. God's obviously going to be doing something very radical for you all. Listen carefully. Because I'm not ready yet to teach you. I'm prophesying to you. First session I taught. This session, something shifted. Doesn't mean that the first session was bad. No, they needed to hear that, because some of you needed to hear that first session too. But this session, this is pure prophetic, because it's about you, this church. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death. Talking about people like I used to be, and many of you, all of you perhaps, except the little ones perhaps, that we were all in Chashek, great darkness, it speaks of. Great Chashek, great darkness. But we have seen a great light, Jesus Christ. And suddenly, that darkness departed from us. Because you see, the darkness cannot comprehend the light. And darkness can never put out the light. That light dwells in you, and you can clothe yourself with that light too, but that's for another story. And so even though you've accepted Jesus Christ, even though we've accepted Jesus Christ, we still from time to time, because that's the vision I had just now when you were worshiping, we still from time to time find ourselves walking in the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death. The shadow of death. So you walk through this life and there's a cloud, if you will, a shadow of death all around. Some people are dead on their feet, never accepted Jesus Christ. They're producing a shadow of death. It could be circumstances, momentous type circumstances. But those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Now these two words for light are beautiful poetic interplay. The first light, the great light, speaks about you and I accept. Look, I'm just talking to you this morning. We're going to preach tonight, okay? I'm just calming myself down. I don't want to chase anybody away yet, but we're going to get going tonight, I can tell you right now. But those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Now that light, light there speaks about illumination. It talks about being illuminated. You see, what's about to happen to the body of Christ is you are about to become illuminated. You've got to understand the reality and the power of illumination. You see, you get revelation, you get illumination, and then comes expression. The church for many years has been getting revelation. Little bit of illumination, but mostly revelation, which has been beautiful and powerful. It brought us out of the dark ages and it's been great. Is anybody out there? But how many of you know Simon Peter got revelation? Simon was walking with Jesus in Acts chapter number 9. And while they're busy walking with Jesus, how many of you know that in Acts chapter number 9, Jesus says to the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" They said, some say this, some say Elijah, some say that, some say John the Baptist, some say. But Jesus doesn't want to know what you know about him in your relationship on the basis of what some say. He wants to know, who do you say that I am? So they went a little quiet, and then Simon Peter piped out and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus gets excited and says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." Revealed, apokalypto. The lid taken off that which has always been present, but hidden until revealed. It's always been there. It's truth, always been there. But apokalypto, my Father in heaven has revealed this to you, takes the lid off, and now you see. And Jesus gets excited and says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you, upon this rock I shall build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And see, I give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever things you shall bind on this earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever things you shall loose on this earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then he begins to tell Peter he's going to the cross, he's going to die, on the third day he's going to rise again. And Simon, with the revelation, becomes a satanic expression. When the church is only operating in the spirit of revelation, there is always the chance of us operating out of a foolish expression at best, or a satanic expression at worst. And Jesus looks at Simon and says, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but mindful of the things of man." You can have revelation and still not be a divine expression. But when illumination is released to the body of Christ, it's called the spirit of illumination. Paul prays in Ephesians, he says, "I pray my God grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened." It's called illumination. And when illumination hits the body of Christ, then you discover your call, the reason for why you were born corporately, your purpose, your destiny. Nobody can teach you these things. Then you discover the riches of the glory of his inheritance that is inside the saints. Then you begin to discover that there is a whole lot more to you, honey, than meets the eye. It's where we get the English word plutocrat from. It means actually locked up inside of you is so much of God. I have to calm down because I want to freak out. Yeah, I'll keep it for tonight, okay? I'm really... You get that through illumination. And then your expression becomes divine. And that's where the church is at right now. They've seen a great light, Jesus Christ. And with that has come apocalypto, beautifully so, over the last couple of 100 years. But now, in order for us to fulfill the destiny that the body of Christ mandate is for this hour, it means that God is about to release the spirit of illumination, which means the understanding of previously hidden truth that you now know. So first you know, then you understand. And when you understand, it changes everything. Your perception changes radically. That's where you're at. And so, upon them a light has shined. Go to the next verse, please. You have multiplied the nation. I'm not teaching. Is this okay, Pastor Alex? I'm trying to be calm. Is this all right? Okay. Revelation comes from Jesus Christ. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But how about setting others free? And when you move to that realm of illumination where God is about to and has begun to pour out the spirit of illumination, understanding, you can read about the seven flames of the one Holy Spirit in Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 2. Understanding, illumination is understanding. It's one thing to know something. It's another thing to understand something. And once you have this, you've received Jesus Christ, then comes, am I boring you? No. And then comes revelation, then comes illumination, which is understanding. Then comes divine expression. When divine expression is manifest, the nations are multiplied and increased its joy. Talking about the joy of salvation. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest. May I prophesy to you? you are going to take the harvest. Whether you believe it or not matters not to me. Those of you that don't believe it will see it, but will not participate of it. That's how serious it's getting. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. A little bit of war. But notice I use the word peace as a violence. It sounds paradoxical, it sounds contradictory, but if you understand peace, you understand that to the enemy, peace is a weapon. Why do you think he wants to steal your peace? Because he takes away one of the most powerful weapons you have against him. All the weapons are beautiful, but the shoes of the gospel of peace, that's not flower power stuff. That's not smoking a bong and I'll fly away and fly away. You know, that ain't flower power stuff. That peace, those are shoes, and the metaphor, the analogy is linked to the Roman soldier's war boot that had 6-inch spikes underneath it, steel spikes. The boots were made of metal, as you all know, I'm sure. And they would march, and when they marched, they would make a noise, and they were not allowed to stop. So if anybody fell under their feet, they were literally pulverized by those spikes. That's why God says, "And the God of peace shall shortly crush, That word crush is a military term describing stomping him underfoot like that. Crush him under your feet. Then in battle, they would use those boots and those spikes. The sun would shine on their breastplates, which would dazzle the enemy so the enemy couldn't see. And then they would run and they would use the shoes of peace to strike them in the shin, break their legs and cut their heads off. Also, the shoes of peace with those spikes would help them walk in rough terrain. No matter what terrain they were in, no matter how rough or how bad it got, if there were thorns and thistles and rocks, and they used those boots to be protected even from the elements. You getting it? They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Oh, this morning I didn't get to my one scripture, but it says, loose yourself from the bonds. And you can loose yourself by wearing 3 beautiful garments, but that was the first session. For you have broken the yoke of his burden. I'm telling you this. See, this is a word for you right now. This is an hour word. This is a word. It's called prophetic preaching, if you will. And I'm actually not preaching because we'll get going tonight. So, for you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For now, watch this. For every warrior's sandal, from the noisy battle, and garments rolled in blood will be used. Just stop there for a second. What God is saying to you is that up until this point in time, you've been fighting one battle after another battle after another battle. Like I said in the first session, many people are fighting a bad fight. Scripture talks about fighting a good fight. You can fight a bad fight or you can fight a good fight. Amen. I prefer to fight a good fight and previously, I've taught you how to fight a good fight, and I'm sure Pastor Alex has too. But for every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for something. Now you've got to understand the culture. You've got to understand the context. There comes a time when you've been fighting and you've been in the heat of the noisy battle and you've been fighting for the glory of Christ, speaking spiritually to you now. You've had your weaponry on and you've been interceding with the lance of intercession and you've been striking out with executioner-style precision using the sword of the Spirit, and you've been blinding the enemy with the breastplate of righteousness, and you've been out there with a shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart from the enemy, and it's been a noisy, bloody, brutal, spiritual battle for some of you, spiritually, physically, even emotionally. But there comes a time where God says, okay, all the warriors, come here now. Give me your robes that have been dipped in blood. See, because when the warriors used to go into battle, there would be so much bloodshed that their robes would become dipped in blood. And their sandals would become dusty from the dust of the noisy battle. And God says, I want to take every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle, and I want to take all the garments that you've been wearing, every wound you've ever experienced, whether it's a broken heart, whatever, a betrayal, you stabbed in the back, he incapacitated you, he stopped you from moving forward, whatever he did in that battle, destroyed your finances, maybe destroyed, those are wounds that you receive, destroyed your children, whatever. There comes a time where God says, that's enough. There's a time for it. Tick tock, tick tock. 3 years ago, to the month of November, I was on live television in Africa. I'm not saying this to impress you, I want to make a point. I prophesied to over 4 million people per night with my prophetic team. And we prophesied to Jonathan Goodluck of Sudan. We prophesied to Cyril Ramaphosa of South Africa. We prophesied to Jacob Zuma, the president of the nation. And then I prophesied to President Robert Mugabe, who has been the president for 37 years in Zimbabwe and Africa since the day of independence. And I prophesied to him and I said, in 3 years' time, because you've not listened, God will remove you. To that month, I was still warned. They still came and threatened me and said, you can't prophesy like that about President Robert Mugabe. They're going to take you out with hitmen. Now they've tried. Whatever. They've done it. They've tried so many times. What am I saying to you? In that prophecy, I still went with my band. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Your time is up on the clock. Tick, tock. It wasn't as nice as this. We were a lot more aggressive. Okay. My band was, I mean, it was a very prophetic band. You know, you guys are doing great, but these guys, I've trained them up for years. Create that sound. He was removed now. Now November, 3 years to the month. So now I'm saying to you, tick tock, tick tock, Satan's time is running out. Seriously running out. Oh yes, but seriously running out. And God now does something phenomenal with warriors. For those of you that have been in the heat of the battle, you might be wounded warriors. In fact, he's talking about wounded warriors. He says, I'll take the garments rolled in blood. I'll take the sandals from the noisy battle. And I'm going to use it for something. I'm going to use it for burning. And I'm going to use it as the very fuel for fire. Now you might not understand what that means, but here is the cultural reference. When there was a war, they would go to battle on the field and they would fight on the field. And they would fight one day, one month, however long it took. But at the end of the battle, the victors, the ones that had the victory, they would take their garments that were robed in blood from their wounds and the sandals from their feet, and they would put it in a big pile, and they would pile it up and pile it up, pile it up, and then they would come and light it, and that would be the fuel, the energy for a massive fire that would burn out into the region, that for people as far as the eye could see would see this fire burning from the garments and the sandals that had been dipped in blood. And it was a symbolic, suggestive sign that these have the victory now. In other words, what God is saying to you is that He is going to take the robes from the battle that's dipped in blood, the wounds you've had, the rejections you've had, the backbiting, the pain, the divorce, the shame, whatever the wounds are that the enemy has brought against you. You've been bleeding. Now He takes those robes and He takes the sandals from your feet and He says, now I'm burning, I'm using it as the very fuel for the fire that consumes the enemy, the fuel for the fire that declares and decrees victory for you in this place. I prophesy victory, 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 and I want someone to shout victory. Shout victory. Shout victory. 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 Shout victory. Victory. Help. Victory. Sing a song. Victory. Yeah. Come on. Say victory. Yeah. Victory. 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 Just say it. Victory. 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 Yeah, victory. Come on. Victory. Yeah, sing it out, everybody say it out. Victory. Victory. Yeah, victory. Victory. Woo-hoo. Come on, let's go, let's go. Victory. Yes, you got it, you got it, you got it. Let's go. Come on, I want you to sing it with her right now. Go.
Victory.
I want you to sing it to your city. I want you to prophesy to the atmosphere. Say,
victory.
Yeah, victory. Sing it out now.
Victory.
Yes, for your children we prophesy. Yes, for our marriages we prophesy.
Victory.
Yes. Come on to America, we say.
Have your victory.
Yeah, come on. I want you to prophesy to the atmosphere. Come on, help us on the sound there.
We prophesy victory.
Everybody say it.
We prophesy the victory.
Yes, you've got it, you've got it, you've got it.
We prophesy the victory.
Yes, we prophesy victory to the city now. Everybody say victory. Everybody say victory. Everybody say victory. Everybody say victory. Shout it out today. Victory. Everybody say
victory.
I want to hear you shout it out.
Everybody say.
Over myself,
victory.
I say, in my business today,
oh,
for my children. I say victory. Stay with me, please. Victory. Everybody say victory for my children now. Victory for my city. We say victory for our children. We say
victory.
Come on, for our marriage. We say
victory.
For the city, we say
victory.
For the nation, we say
victory.
For the church, we say
victory.
For my life, I say
victory.
For my ministry, I say
victory.
One more time, shout it out, victory. Yeah, come on. Come on, let's give Jesus a shout of praise. Come on. Come on, attack it. Let's go. Just attack it. Just attack it. Come on, come on, come on. Go. Go, give me a sound. Let's go. Yeah, make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, clap your hands. 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 Victory. Victory.
Victory.
Victory.
Victory.
Yeah, victory.
Victory.
And one more time, say
victory.
Victory. Amen. All right. That being stopped. Amen. Okay, sit down, you wild bunch. Why not? It's called prophesying to the atmosphere. It is a key principle to the prophetic. I cannot teach you 28 years of the prophetic, but one of the major keys to the prophetic is to fight with it. And the way that you fight with it is you prophesy it to the atmosphere. You say it to the atmosphere. In the Hebrew language, when Ezekiel is told to prophesy to the bones, he does so. God is speaking, nothing happens. Then he has to prophesy, then something happens. But it's still not manifest until he has given one more instruction, and that is to prophesy to the atmosphere. It says, prophesy to the breath, son of man, prophesy to the breath. The poetic interplay in the Hebrew language, that word there, breath, prophesy to the breath, is prophesy to the air, to the atmosphere. So when you prophesy, you're making a decree, and it activates the holy angels in a variety of dynamics, but one of them is Psalm 103, verse 20. Amen. I apologize, Pastor Alex. I went a little bit over time there. I was spot on in the beginning. There's so many of you I want to pray for, but I'm going to submit to the time because that's the right thing to do. And come back tonight. Bring people that are battling with infirmities. In particular, I feel very strongly to pray against breast cancer or lumps. So if you know anyone with breast cancer or lumps, in fact, right here this morning, let's just do, can I do it, Pastor Alex? Can I just, I'll pray just for one person. If you're suffering from growth or a growth or growths or cancer in the breast or breasts, please, I want you to wave your hand to me, please. Wave your hand to me. Wave your hand, okay? Don't be embarrassed, please. Come to me. Come to me, honey. It's called the word of knowledge. And so when God speaks to me like that, then my faith level just rises. It's just like it.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.